Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is the first Monday of November, and we just finished watching Monday Night Raw. It is time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. If this is your first time tuning in here to the most interactive post-Raw experience available, we call it that because we invite you to join us all throughout the evening. We have a chat room that's already opened. Lots of cool cats there already. Kaylin, Ferris, Silent Wind of Doom, Wazili. I see a few guests. If you are sitting there not registered with Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and do it. Get yourself a cool name there so you can join the second conversation that goes on throughout the show. We're also going to be opening up our phone lines around 11:30. Sooner you call, the sooner you will get yourself in online. We do try to make time for every single caller, but if you want to get yourself in quickly, get yourself in line by picking up that phone and dialing in area code 760-512-7247 is the number to get you in there. You can also join us via Twitter by tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. In the Facebook group, the official group is The Mega Maniacs. Just search Facebook for that one there. Lots of ways we want to know your opinions about Raw tonight. Any questions you want to pose to the panel, whatever the heck is on your mind, really. We're pretty open-ended here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Before we get things started, I'd just like to tell y'all about ways you can support us here. And the number one way you could do that is by going to us on Patreon. By giving us a monthly donation for as little as $1, you could help us continue this station going and keep bringing you all the cool shows we do, like the Raw Post Show, the Daceman Show, the All Talk Show, maybe even another Addicted to Anime if Wago feels like throwing that together someday. Who knows? Yeah, I just totally put him on the spot with that. We will find other stuff to get there as well. We always like keeping it fresh, keeping it tight here on Mega Powers Radio. In the meantime, though, let's get things kicked off with just us hosts here. My name is Mike Payton, Station Director here at Mega Powers Radio. I will be running things on the show tonight. With me is Mr. Steven Huego.
Ahoy, hoy.
That's Mr. Steven Huego saying ahoy, hoy. Shout outs to all of you that are in the chat room. We invite all of you to continue being involved throughout the show as well and posing things to us to continue the conversation. In the meantime, though, the first thing I start off with us is Wago. What's the number one thing you took away from this show?
I think the number one thing I took away tonight, and I don't think it's a good thing that this is what I came up with, is me just wondering, are we getting a Survivor Series match, a Survivor Series now?
You're not the only one. I saw someone else ask that question in our Mega Maniacs during Raw chat, and I assume we are. I assume that Wyatt versus Undertaker's is going to be a Survivor Series match.
Mm-hmm.
But I always want there to be more than one. And I thought that this match lineup that we had tonight were two fantastic teams. I mean, just the relationship between Seth Rollins and New Day, which they played up on a number of shows, is always just freaking hilarious and enjoyable. And throwing Kevin Owens straight as a straight man into that group was even better. And you had a solid lineup of stars with the babyface team. Spoiler, surprise return of the Usos tonight coming to the aid of Roman Reigns for his team. This is totally something you could have played off on Survivor Series as another Survivor Series match to build the gimmick up more.
Yeah, this definitely would have been a lot of fun if it had even more time as well. I don't want to see it again now that I already have.
Again? That's disappointing. Chris Jericho here. Hey, buddy.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, it's not something I want to see again, so I'm guessing all of these guys are just going to have their individual matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that match is probably telling of what we're getting. I imagine we'll get Ryback and Owens again now, and the Usos will probably challenge for the tag belts.
Well, let's continue talking about this. This was our main event for the night. It was a traditional Survivor Series match. Throughout the night, we had a series of segments that built up Seth Rollins' team. He recruited Kevin Owens and The New Day, with Xavier Woods returning after being gone for the last couple weeks. Roman Reigns had a few tricks up his sleeve, too, though. He got Ryback and, of course, his good friend Dean Ambrose, and recruiting the returning Usos, his cousins, to work alongside him. Very underwhelming return for everyone here, though. Usos just kind of got eliminated like nothing. Xavier Woods at least did a really fun comedy spot in the beginning where he was all amped up and full of fire, and then he ran towards one of the Usos and got a super kick for a early pin. Hey, you wanted this super kick to get some more heat recognition on it. There you go. That super kick looked pretty strong there.
Yeah. As long as it looks strong and it's used as a finish, I'll be happy.
Overall, though, I did not like how this match came together in the end because it ended with a disqualification. Seth Rollins taking a chair. It was down to just him and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. He couldn't handle the heat, grabbed a chair, and that's how this match ended. As I said, you had so much star power, so much awesome stuff in this match. It should have at least been on Survivor Series. But if you didn't want to do that, that's fine. You could have at least had a good ending for this. There would be no shame in Seth Rollins going down when he was outnumbered. Or you could have said the opposite. Like, it's fine.
I would have been fine if they Team Reigns got a clean sweep, to be quite honest. I think that would have been somewhat fun.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens could have got himself disqualified or just left in a huff because that's what he does.
Seth Rollins thinks he's got his back, but really Kevin Owens is always just for himself.
Mm-hmm. Then you've got the New Day, who I don't mind getting beaten. Their characters can take that because they're a comedy shtick. And then Seth Rollins just gets fed to the wolves. It would have been fun. I hate it when they deliver something like this and then just fuck it all up with a DQ finish. Plus, with the Usos coming back, they kind of needed something more to, I don't know, get them over, to get them reestablished. So that was a letdown.
Silent Wind of Doom in the chat room saying, Wyatt's versus Undertaker's team doesn't feel like a headliner Survivor Series match, mostly because the Wyatts are a stable, and a real big Survivor Series match should be a bunch of headliners slapped together. I can't believe I just said that. I don't feel like that's necessarily always true.
I don't agree with that sentiment either. As far as it being a headline or not, I could argue that it's a bit lackluster just because I don't think the Wyatt stable is over enough.
Is it going to be even the main event, though? I'm pretty much assuming that that's going to be Roman and Seth Rollins.
I know they're advertising it around the anniversary of The Undertaker, but if I was them, and I think they're pulling the trigger on Roman Reigns come this pay-per-view, I'd make that the main event and make him the focus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can make the Undertaker thing the main thing in the promotion, but still have that night end with Roman Reigns being the big victor.
And have you noticed the fans more and more are getting behind him? They're finally starting to wake up and get past that stigma.
It depends on where they are. Every city's a little different. Where they were tonight, absolutely embraced him. And most cities they've been to recently.
Yeah, it's getting more common, and that's a good thing, because that guy got way too much shit for nothing.
Where is Survivor Series?
Oh, that's a good question, because that could fucking throw a wrench in the works.
And I am concerned about him, if they're doing something big with him at WrestleMania, as I assume they would, being in Dallas.
It's going to be at Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, he'll be fine in Atlanta.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Isn't that where he played football?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that fucking network specials.
Maybe we need Sean here. He's got a football podcast, doesn't he? Look up Premier Pals for your daily football intake.
Football.
Well, I don't think he does that podcast daily. Holy shit. I'm not putting that workload on Sean. we want to know what all of you out in the chatmosphere and phone lines out there think about this Survivor Series match that we had tonight. Are you disappointed that it was not on Survivor Series and it was on Raw? Are you disappointed with the ending? What do you think about the return of the Usos? In fact, Wago, what are your thoughts about the return of the Usos?
Very overall underwhelming. Mm-hmm. They needed something to make them stand out. This was their big return. They've been gone for a while, and arguably, they're the face of that tag division,
mm-hmm.
or at least they have been made out to be. This is going to be the big face team that's going to be feuding with the New Day, or at least for the foreseeable future. So they needed something to make them stand out, and I don't think tonight did that. They just looked like any old tag team that just got jobbed out.
Yeah, they are someone who's supposed to be a big deal, and it's a shame they, I think they completely botched the return of the Dudleys. They weren't even on the show tonight. Dudleys were nowhere to be seen. I wonder if they're done.
I don't think they're done. I just think they're putting the focus on the Usos. I think they're a higher priority to them. And I think the Usos will get the belts back. And at some point, they're going to face a heel set of Dudleys.
Oh. Oh, that is actually very smart. Long-term planning. Who would have fucking thought?
Shit. Maybe we're giving them too much credit.
This is very true. Well, anything about the thoughts about the returning Xavier Woods?
I wish he didn't bring back his fucking
trombone. Oh my god, whoever the fuck gave him another one of those damn things.
Like, it was funny at first, and we all knew it was going to get annoying, but it really is just fucking obnoxious to the point you want to turn off the television.
And I do like how he was summoned back by the power of unicorns.
Fucking segment was fucking dumb as shit.
Oh, so fun. As I said, I love the chemistry of New Day and Seth Rollins. Put these guys together as often as possible, in my opinion.
As far as those backstage segments goes, I actually enjoyed the one between him and Kevin Owens. It's like, hey, I got a big ego. So do you. You want to be egotistical together? Okay.
It's a pretty accurate way of how that went. Then he just throws a glove behind him like an asshole. Yeah, someone else can pick this up later.
That was great.
Yeah, so that was our main event segment of the night. As I said, we encourage all of you out there to give your thoughts about it. We're going to be opening up those phone lines in just a few more minutes, so go ahead and dial in to get your phone, get your voice heard on the Raw post show on Mega Powers Radio. Use your phone. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. All right, guys, let's talk about Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens.
I'm not your guy, friend.
The guys. Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens. What do you think about that?
I was expecting more, to be quite honest, and I don't know if I should, but I'm liking the Tyler Breeze and Dolph Ziggler feud because we have a lack of like lower card feuds, and this feels like the perfect thing to set Tyler Breeze up, and I hope they go ahead and make him the winner of this feud.
I do generally like his entrance, but I feel like Summer Rae is ruining it. I really feel like she's not necessary for him.
It's fucking amazing when you can say that Summer Rae's a downgrade to something, and I think you're spot on with that. Tyler Breeze has got it on his own. He's a full package. He's got that gimmick down to a T. So, yeah, Summer Rae's unnecessary. I get why they're doing it because of the whole Dolph Ziggler, Summer Rae, Lana love triangle, but
oh, can we just like pretend that story never happened?
we
thought that story was done. We still got the fucking remnants of it haunting us.
Yeah, it's like TNA. It doesn't matter how many times they try and flush it; it just like comes back.
The fucking ghosts of that terrible fucking storyline. Oh my god! Thought Halloween was over. I thought this was a very fun match, but not what I would have expected out of these two guys. Seeing Kevin Owens throw Dolph Ziggler around was definitely a joy of it. Maybe they were just holding back. Maybe they got something in the future that they could do better together. Or maybe they just don't have that chemistry.
You know, I feel like if you gave these guys 20 minutes on a pay-per-view, they could bust something out good. But tonight was just a TV match, and it was overbooked for the reasons of having Tyler Breeze out there. So,
I'm always for that. Tyler Breeze is awesome. We haven't really gotten to see anything of him on the main roster, and will the NXT curse get him? That's a big question that we have. What do you think about his future on the main roster?
He needs to evolve.
They need to send him to evolve?
He needs to evolve. Like, his gimmick can't stay stagnant. He needs to add new layers to him as he goes, because otherwise he's just going to become another comedy jobber. He's going to be another Fandango.
Oh, that would be awful. What if him and Fandango became a tag team?
I'm not sure if that'd work or not, but I'd be willing to give it a try.
Give it a year where they haven't done anything else with Tyler Breeze. I almost guarantee that's where that's going to go.
Can't be any worse than Curtis Axel and fucking Damian Sandow.
Well, yeah, it could be Curtis Axel and Ryback. Yeah, so Tyler Breeze did come out during this match. He ended up laying out Dolph Ziggler with a beauty shot, taking a selfie with a selfie stick. Good Tyler Breeze character moments with that. I am still waiting. Has he even had a match in the main roster yet, though?
If he has, it's probably been on SmackDown, and I probably haven't watched it.
Caitlin Ferris in the chat saying, how long till Breeze hits the Cena brick wall? I don't know if he's the kind of guy that they're like building to go over to Cena one day. He's not like a
Rusev. Yeah, I could see Cena getting the US belt when he comes back and Breeze just being a victim of his US Open.
That sounds about right. At best, that's what he'll do. I don't think it's going to be a big build up to that. He's already going to have long suffered a loss by then, I'm sure.
Yeah, like Cena is just training and getting ready to squash Stroganoff, so.
So this was a weird thing. I thought Michael Cole, we get a shot onto the desk, which whenever they go to the desk, it's never fucking good. It's either they're promoting some dumb shit you don't care about, or some like really tragic thing happened, or they're just going to talk about dumbass nonsense, which is what this was. Michael Cole wanted to talk about the quote highly controversial Divas division. Is there anything controversial about the Divas division right now? Pretty sure we're all in just fucking universal opinion that it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's controversial. WWE says it's one thing when it's not.
A revolution?
Yeah.
What I did like about this, though, is you know how they have the replays every week? And a lot of times they might change the name of what that replay is based on whatever advertisement it's coming from. You know, like they'll have the boot of the week or whatever it may be.
Oh, they had the fucking evil commercial of that cat-trap thing. What's it called?
I don't remember the name of the company, but they called it the killer moment of the week presented by the rat killer stuff. I was like, oh, that's fucking terrible. This whole ad campaign is fucking horrible, and I love it.
Yeah, I know. Like, I looked up the commercials on YouTube, and people, like, hate those fucking commercials. They're leaving the nastiest comments. Yeah. And I'm just cackling at it. It's great. The rocket to heaven.
Kaelin Ferris is informing us that Breeze was broadcasting live on YouTube during Raw. Didn't catch that.
Huh.
That's a good gimmick. I know he's done Periscopes, whatever the fuck that is. I'm so not up on what they're doing these days. Are they still doing Touts?
I think Touts died. I think it died around the time Tensai said something really racist.
That never made it onto Gawker or TMZ or anything. That could have been a terrible moment. We had a match between Cesaro and The Miz. Big highlight of this is that we had the Cosmic Alliance in the audience. Stardust with these awesome shoulder pads with these spikes. He's sitting there eating golden popcorn. It's really, really funny, I think. This whole thing just has this 80s vibe to it, and I just eat it up like Cody was eating that freaking golden popcorn.
My biggest issue with this is I just want them to commit to something with Stardust. They seem so flaky. There's no consistency in the feud. There's no real direction. I want to see him in a program, them stick to it, and then he advances to something else. The guy's easily one of the most underutilized people they have on the roster.
I feel like it's too soon for them to try to build this match up for actual Survivor Series, unless they just blow it on like some dumb pre-show shit.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, but I'm just hoping that they commit to Stardust at some point.
Well, in better news, Cesaro got the victory in this match after a big, big swing. I think he did like 20 plus rotations on this one, and then going immediately into a sharpshooter submission, which I did not expect from him, but a neat little shout out to his tag team partner. Well, there's not active tag team partner Tyson Kidd. I thought that was really neat. And a very big victory for him. The crowd was certainly into him. The Cesaro section was going nuts.
It was nice to see The Miz in the ring for once.
Yeah, generally he's just been doing these dumb backstage segments or Miz TV.
And I don't think people give him enough credit. The guy's capable of going in the ring, too. He's one of those other underutilized guys.
WrestleMania main eventer.
Yeah, and for everyone that hates on, like, the main event was shit. I'll give them credit. Like, I'll agree with everyone on that. But the build to it was fucking awesome.
Hell yeah. Still love that pre-match video for Miz. One of my favorite ones for it ever. You can hate me now.
Yeah, that's it. That was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cena had a good one too. I think it was like Tupac or something.
Yeah, it was probably something like that.
Bray Wyatt is in the ring with the rest of the Wyatt family around him, and he. This is we complain a lot of time about Bray Wyatt just getting lost in some random meandering words. This was Bray Wyatt at his best tonight. He was summoning the devil's tongue with what he was saying tonight. And he was just, I don't know, cold. He was on point. He was talking about how he's sucking the souls from Kane and Undertaker, about how he doesn't care about their bodies. That's not what he wants. He's taking the power from them. And then he demonstrates that he took that power from them by controlling the lights going out and flickering and the lightning's going off in the ring, and then the fire shoots out from the pillars. He basically took Undertaker's and Kane's powers. This is fucking awesome. This is like the kind of shit I used to love seeing with Undertaker, that they don't do anything like this anymore.
This is that ridiculous stuff from the 90s where it was just like, yeah, everyone's got superpowers and it's okay.
Yeah, I fucking love this. This is so fucking awesome. And then they had this kick-ass video package of Kane and Undertaker, basically a retrospective of their careers. Really well done. This segment fucking kicked ass.
I actually kind of want Bray Wyatt to fucking come out of this feud the winner.
Oh, he has to.
Because, and not only that, but like keep the powers and add it to his character and become that next generation of Supernatural. Because I didn't think we'd get another Supernatural character, and Bray's pulling it off.
That would be really interesting if he just completely sucked up Kane and Undertaker's power. Like, if this was like the retirement. Because this could be.
Like, people associate WrestleMania with The Undertaker, but the fact is, he started it all at Survivor Series, and now that the streak's dead, there's no shame in going out here.
He has nothing left to prove at Survivor Series, or WrestleMania, rather, or anyone else for that matter.
And he just main evented another pay-per-view. He showed he still got it in his old age, and now he can hang him up.
And, you know, if he wants to, that's fine, but this is all really well done right now. And I don't know, unless they're going to continue this story going out even further, this is awesome. And I'd be perfectly happy if this is how he went out. And if that was how it happened, by him getting everything absorbed by the quote-unquote eater of worlds, that'd be awesome.
Definitely.
So we'll see how that goes with that. We had the Lucha Dragons coming out, and Jesus Christ, I was surprised they played a fucking Lucha Dragons video package. Who the fuck saw that coming? Like, these guys.
Sorry, like, my audio cut out for a second. What did you say?
Lucha Dragons got a goddamn video package.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, and I thought for a second maybe they're actually going to do something with them, and holy shit, they got the win.
Yeah. They come out, and at first I'm thinking, like, oh, even though they gave him this video package, it was probably just to make him seem like a little bit better opponents for going against a newer tag team of Sheamus and King Barrett, who I would have assumed that they were going to try to make those guys look like the stronger team. I mean, nobody necessarily looked weak. These guys actually had a pretty long match, but it ended with Kalisto getting the pin with the Salida del Sol. It was a pretty damn good tag match. I'm not going to say it was match of the year or anything, but it was solid. Both teams looked good. Holy shit, we have a tag division.
Definitely stood out as one of the high points of the night to me. This was a fun backwards and forwards match, and it's nice when you get one of these random wins, and it definitely made the Lucha Dragons seem stronger. As far as the Sheamus and King Barrett team goes, I'm not feeling it. I don't know about you. It feels just too front together and forced.
They need to get a better shtick together. Like, they need to make their entrance together. They need to do something as a team.
Sync up the attire, get, like, Barrett needs to drop the King gimmick.
You know what? It's never going to work when, not necessarily Barrett has the King gimmick, but Sheamus has the briefcase.
Mm-hmm. That's goofy as fuck, too. And the thing is, they've both been King of the Ring, so they could have played off that. But,
oh, yeah.
But then they both are going to have goofy outfits again, and I fucking hated Sheamus as King of the Ring.
I think that would be kind of cool, like two Warrior Kings coming in as a tag team.
If it gave them something to do, I'd be okay with it.
You know, I really like King Barrett's entrance these days. He's got like he's got this like hopping back and forth on his feet he does.
I just wish he'd fucking get rid of that crown. It looks goofy as shit.
He never even wears it.
Yeah, he wears it at the start, takes it off, and kind of just jumps around with it.
While he holds it high in the air, like, look at my crown! All right, with that, we're going to start opening up the phone lines to all you people out there. So if you want to get your voice heard on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, we invite all y'all to phone in. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. All right, we're going to open up our first phone call here to someone who's been waiting very patiently. Unfortunately, they don't have a phone number shown here. They're coming up as Anonymous. So let's see what we got in the line here. Anonymous, you are live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Who's there? Hello? Hello?
Oh, shit, I had the phone muted.
What's up? What's your name?
All right, this is fucking Alex. I was chatting on y'all Facebook the whole time.
What's up, fucking Alex? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm a little sick right now, so I don't mind it. But
no problem,
lot to talk about. Lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's talk off with the whole super kick motion.
Okay.
Let's talk off with this first.
Sure.
It's not like they're calling it a sweet chin music.
No, because only Shawn Michaels did sweet chin music.
They're calling it a sweet chin music. But I was watching PWG event. A motherfucker called out a diamond cutter. It's just a cutter though.
This is true.
They called out a 619. That's not the name of the move.
Well, I couldn't tell you what the name of that move actually is. I would just call that a 619 too.
It's Mexican. Let's just go with that. It's Mexican. So, but
Ray hits the point the Mexican.
So,
well, he does a lot of that.
It's an actual, like a thrust kick. Ooh, Bobby Heenan would call it a crescent kick. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, it's not the teaching music. You know, Shawn Michaels made that a finisher. Well, from my eyes, you know, he made it. Somebody else wanted to use it, but they didn't claim it. Ric Flair. I don't think he's won a match with the figure four leg lock.
No, I can't recall many times he's actually won a match with a figure four leg lock.
But he's known for that move, you know?
But that wasn't his shtick to win today. He was the dirtiest player in the game. He won via cheating. Listen, I know where you're going with this, and I agree.
I'm just saying that the whole band, the super kick motion.
No, some people. Kick. I like super kicks, and there's a lot of good people who do it.
Wago, you got 16. There's like fucking 12 super kicks, even counting the corner ones. Like there's 12 super kicks. I filled up one of my whole list with all super kicks. It's fun to do. Just throw a fucking kick. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm gonna super kick someone for real.
Here's what I'd say: if everybody in the WWE except one guy, for example, Dolph Ziggler, stopped using the superkick. When Dolph Ziggler did that superkick, it would mean a shit ton more.
So, are you saying Dolph Ziggler should be the one?
Out of everybody, I think he utilizes it the best.
Hmm.
That or Tyler Breeze.
I don't know, man. I just feel like a lot of moves tend to do that. I mean, you think back in the day. The DDT used to be the big move for Jake the Snake Roberts, and that got watered down really fast. We have tons of people that do DDTs.
Yeah, true. But what about a leg drop?
Well, if you watch NXT this week, what the hell's her name? Nia Jax got a victory with a leg drop.
Oh, yeah, this is my first time seeing that. Woo, she's thick. Woo, booty.
Yeah. Well, she does booty. Have a booty, but I don't think fits the word I'd use.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, it's not shapely like, what, Naomi, but...
Listen, man, everyone's got their tastes. Everyone's got their tastes. The Rock thinks she's sexy.
Aren't they related?
Yes. Yeah, the commentators will fucking tell you that every time she walks in the damn ring. It's the Rock. Cousin of the Rock. Cousin of the Rock. She's the cousin of the Rock. Hear me, Rich. If you had to choose someone, Alex, if you had to limit it down to one person for the super kick, who would you give it to?
But the Usos make it look so good too.
They do. They're kind of like WWE's version of the fucking Young Bucks.
If it looks good, you can do it. That's what I'm saying. If you make it look good, you can do it. Brock Lesnar doing a shooting star press? No. But Billy Kidman doing it?
Billy Kidman's star press looked awful.
Yeah, but he had a good 7-year itch.
Well, that's why I'm fucking trying to switch it up. But, super kick though. Dogs do it funny to me. I don't know. I don't like dogs. He got it sometimes, and then sometimes he don't.
Now, we could debate who has the best super kick all day. What did you think about our main event Survivor Series match?
Fuck that shit. It was good, but, like, it wasn't Survivor Series. See, if we've seen that at Survivor Series, it would have been something different. Usos would have returned. Everybody would have got hype, you know. What else? It could have ended in disqualification.
It did.
At the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at the pay-per-view, it could have, mm-hmm. you know, because Rollins is a punk, and he could have had a match later on that night. You know, the title match could have happened later on. So him getting disqualified was smart, you know, if it happened at the Ravager.
Well, no, they didn't even have to have a title match. They could have had that and a disqualification to build more heat for whenever they do have that title match, which presumably would happen at TLC. And then the main event can be the Taker and Wyatt's.
Because you can have that as a main event.
I don't know why they did that. I feel like they do this almost every year. I hope they come up with more than one Survivor Series match, and I don't just mean making a Divas one, because that's usually what they do. And almost every goddamn year, I feel like it's always Team Total Divas versus Team Not Total Divas. They try to do that NXT goddamn shit again. Oh, that would be cool. That would be really neat, but I have a feeling they're not going to slap that together in 2 weeks.
I was talking about Divas, though.
Oh, yeah, if they did something like that, you got something like, let's do Nia Jax and Asuka and
Eva Marie.
Bailey. And yeah, then you can have
Eva Marie.
No, she's not back from Paris yet.
You gotta mention her. You gotta mention her.
Well, she wouldn't be on the team. She's like
a god.
I feel like she's on her last rope. Because she's not even on the show anymore. So what else is on your mind about tonight's show?
Bray Wyatt sucking souls out.
Oh, yes.
Best fucking thing ever. They should have did that from the jump, though. Like, he already chased Undertaker. Like, he lost. You know, he didn't try to suck his soul then. Or I just can't remember. But
I don't remember him doing too much of this supernatural stuff. I think the best thing we ever saw him do was when he had those photos of Roman Reigns with the eyes cut out. That was probably one of the neatest thing we ever saw him do as far as going in that realm. Other than controlling the lights, Bray Wyatt has had no supernatural abilities. And this is what I want. I want him to shoot lightning out of his fucking hands and shit. That's what Bray Wyatt should be doing.
Yeah.
He should be like next level Jedi type
shit. Lasers and shit. Yeah, I agree. So agree. Let's talk about the legend of Eric Rowan real quick.
Well, okay. I mean, we could always make time for Eric Rowan.
I thought about this, though. I don't know if I'm too high, but I thought about this. So Eric causes the Wyatt family to match against The Undertaker. They get their powers back. You know, he gives it to Eric Rowan.
Oh. I like this. Yes. And Eric Rowan's controlling both fire and lightning.
No, that wasn't a serious one. It was really about Eric Rowan becoming champion. Like, Sheamus gets injured. And you remember how they did it with Kennedy and Edge?
Oh, yeah.
So Eric takes out Sheamus, you know what I'm saying?
With his lightning hands?
Cashes in the money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just cashes it in. You champ. This happens around WrestleMania. And he goes in the Hall of Fame the night before. Fucking legend.
I love that this legend of Eric Rowan's getting over with our fans, too.
Well, I mean, Eric Rowan's getting over with everybody, too. So it's only going to grow hand in hand.
He's awesome. I mean, Luke Harper's awesome. Like, he's fucking workhorse.
Hey, I'm going to bring something up, Mike.
Eric Rowan's bigger.
Do you remember how you said Luke Harper was the better one? How things have changed.
Well, no. Okay, Eric Rowan is the future. Eric Rowan has not yet bloomed into this star yet. We're still waiting for this to happen. We are merely giving the prophecy. The prophecy has not yet shown itself. Where is this going to leave Braun Strowman?
Has he even wrestled? Oh, he had a tag team match.
I think he was part of a tag team match where he hugged somebody.
Yeah, like, he sucks. Like, I need to see a match with him, like, before WWE, or, like, so I need to see him work, because if not, then get the fuck out the Wyatts. Wyatt families are, like, the Wyatt period, like, that group, all of them was, like, go-hard-ass crackers, you know what I'm saying? Like, crazy-ass people, man.
Why are they called, like, the Wyatt family? All right, Alex, we got a lot of other callers we got to get to here. So before we let you go, though, I want to ask you your high point and your low point. What was your favorite point and your least favorite point of the show?
All right, time for high point, New Day, backstage segment, Wyatt family, sucking soul.
Mm-hmm.
Low point, fuck. What was the low point? Having a Survivor Series match not at Survivor Series, or having that particular Survivor Series match not at Survivor Series.
Should have been there. Absolutely. All right, Alex, this is a fun call, man. You're always welcome to call in again here anytime. You have a good night, dude.
Wait. Oh, one more thing.
What's up,
one
yo?
More thing.
What's up?
One more thing. See, I haven't been listening in a minute, mm-hmm. but I have listened to like 3 episodes in a row.
Yes.
And I haven't been listening for a minute. I've been listening to Smart Out, you know, shout out to Tony. But, why y'all fucking with JD?
Who?
Why y'all fucking with Nat Jeff? Why y'all fucking with him?
I don't know what you're talking
why
about.
Why y'all fucking with these guys? You know, I don't know either. I'm just, you know.
Oh, Time so. Cow is telling us that we have to move along here. So, Alex, we're going to have to catch you.
Black, man.
All right, Alex, you have a good night, man. We'll catch you another time. All right, that was a fun call. Chat room,
that was awesome.
Chat room seems to like the caller too. Kaylin Ferris saying I like this caller. Wazili had a couple of funny things he was saying to this. He suggested doing a men versus women Survivor Series match. Wazili says they need buzzers flying in the top of the arena. We got a few more callers here, so I guess we should just continue the phones going here. So if anyone else out there wants to call, we do try to make time for every single caller that we can. So if you want to dial in, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to dial. So let's go ahead and open up the phone to caller from 540. Caller from 540. Who's there?
Yeah, you know who this is. Yeah, you know who this is.
Is this JD?
No.
Who is this?
No, it's your worst
night. Oh, shit, it sounds like Stone Cold.
It's your worst nightmare, guys.
I'm having deja vu. Isn't this how JD called in once?
Is this Awesome Piano Man?
No. It's your worst nightmare, assholes. It's me, Jeff. You remember you kicked me out a few months ago, and I still haven't told you what you all guys are, because you know what you guys did, and you know what you did to JD and me. You guys kicked me out. You guys...
All right.
Who's Jeff?
Hold...
I always remember a guy named John.
Are you reading a script? Because this is like word for word what JD said to us once.
You guys used me like a Thanksgiving Japanese turkey.
All right,
like
Jeff, hold on. Jeff, hold on. Hold on. All right. I got something I got to say. All right?
What?
You're all right. You're all right. Chat room, they think you're cool. People don't have a problem with you. We all really just don't like JD. He's annoying. He tries to take over the show. Tries to bring his own segment on here. You just instantly called in. You're cool. So I have a proposition for you. I will let you come back. You can call anytime you want. You're welcome to do your own thing. But you have to disparage the name of JD.
I will not disparage the name JD. You guys can go straight to hell.
You know what? I'm giving props. At least it's horrible.
Oh, that was worth a try.
Yeah,
that one did work out. Oh, you know.
Why did he go to Japanese turkey? Why did, like, when you go, you used me like a Japanese turkey at Thanksgiving. The fuck?
So that one dude brings up a good point. Why is he calling himself Jeff?
Like, if he's actually going by the name we forced on him.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great.
All right, so we got a caller from 412. Let's see what they got to say. Caller from 412. Caller from 412, you there? Caller from 412.
Maybe it's awesome piano, man. You should play his music.
All right, well, enough of that then. So we'll head back to talking about the show. Shout outs again to if anyone in the chat room or wants to call in, tell us what you thought about Raw, post us any questions, whatever is on your mind. It's the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post show on megapowersradio.com. So looking up where we left off here, we had a backstage segment with Jack Swagger approaching Zeb Coulter backstage. I don't know what the fuck they said. Alberto Del Rio comes in, calls Jack Swagger Little Jackie. That's the only real note I have of this. Do we have to revisit this feud?
What confused me more is I don't understand what Swagger was asking him or what his beef was.
Well, what confused me more was what the hell was going on with Jack Swagger's hair.
Yeah, he really needs to figure that mess out. That's like been one of his biggest issues. He's never had a good haircut since his entire run with that company.
His entire run. Yeah, it's either been like a messy mop or now he's got this like Macklemore type cut.
Yeah, and these spikes look fucking terrible when he was in ACW.
Oh, that's right. The dumbass smile he was always pointing to.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know what they were getting at with this. It's like, hey, Mex-Americans, why are you doing that?
Well, I'm guessing Swagger's just going to be the first person fed to Del Rio on his U.S. title run.
Yeah, but I don't want to see that feud again.
Oh, like, it's so unnecessary.
Can it just be like I'm fine with it if it's just a one-week thing to just establish Del Rio as a dick.
Hmm.
But I don't want to see it as a full program.
Well, we're only 2 weeks of Survivor Series, so if they just do it for that, that's okay. If they really wanted to play on the former Un-Americans thing, or not Un-Americans, Real Americans thing, why not with Cesaro?
Cesaro and Del Rio, they could probably pull off a good match.
Hell yeah, they could.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
See, Silent Wind of Doom saying Swagger was the smart person. He's the one who went to Zeb and said, seriously, what are you doing? This makes no sense. What's your game, old man? Yeah, I mean, he does make a valid point. Swagger did try to at least say, yo, this whole thing you're doing is stupid. But
yeah, I wonder if there's like a end game for Zeb or if it's just they wanted Del Rio to have a manager.
I mean, Del Rio could talk on his own. They have always kind of had someone with him, though, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what's getting me thinking. I'm wondering if they're not comfortable having him on his own.
So weird. I wonder why. Well, Alberto Del Rio ended up having a match against R-Truth. He won this match again with that crazy fucking corner curb stomp type thing. They banned the fucking curb stomp, but they let this guy do this move? What sense does that make?
It doesn't make any sense, but I love like when guys have multiple ways to finish someone. It just makes the whole thing more believable and more unpredictable.
Well, you know, he's had the cross-arm breaker, which I don't think we've seen him win a match with since he's come back. Because John Cena, he beat with a super kick. So you should be happy about that. And the last couple of weeks, he's won with this thing. So I don't even know what the fuck to call it. I think someone in the Raw During chat in the Mega Maniacs group called it the Border Jump.
That's fucking great.
But in Mex-America, there is no borders. Yeah, see? I made it relative.
You.
Any thoughts about this match? Of course not, right?
Well, I'll take a page from Drew's book. This was a match.
Aren't you starting to look a little husky, isn't he?
Sure. I didn't really pay that much attention to him.
Okay. Well, it's something I noticed.
Unless he's stealing things, I don't really pay attention to him.
When has he done that?
He's stealing the IC title.
Oh, that's right. That was great. Well, this is the last segment we got to talk about here. We had a four-way match. They were promoting us all night to determine the new number one contender for Charlotte's Divas title to face her at Survivor Series. It was Becky Lynch against Sasha Banks, Brie Bella, and Paige. Every woman for herself. I gotta say, it was a pretty decent match here. It wasn't match of the year quality, but I think this was by far the best match we've had since this whole Divas Revolution thing. And I'm going to go ahead and say this is the first, like, main roster match that we've had with these divas that's felt like those NXT Divas matches that we've had the last year plus.
It wasn't quite there, but it was a step in the right direction. Tonight was an average match. It was fun, but it was clunky. They're finding their groove, and just note that there was no Nikki Bella in this match.
Definitely note that, but I do think it is important to make Brie look like a star too. I think a lot of people through this whole three against three story got kind of pushed aside. Becky Lynch not being the least of them. They're the one that they're focusing on now, but Tamina, Naomi, Brie, freaking where the hell was freaking Foxy? Supposedly she got this awful new haircut. They didn't want to put her on TV.
You think that might be the reason? I've not seen her in a while.
Well, they didn't have anybody come out with their team, so I don't think it was necessarily just that. Unless they told everyone to stay back because of that. But yeah, I thought this match was a little clunky, but I think that's to be expected whenever you have four people in a match. Anytime when you have more than a one-on-one, that's going to be kind of expected. Paige gets a victory here, though, with a rampage on Becky Lynch for the pin. Cool. It's expected. I was rooting for Sasha Banks, and I think a lot of people were, but... Paige is the person they've been building through this. That's the one that makes sense for Survivor Series. She got a big, solid victory out of this. She looks strong. That's good. I really can't complain about anything there.
I want her to stop using the rampage. It looks like shit. I'd rather she just win by tap out.
That Paige tap out move kicks ass.
Yeah, it does. The rampage, like, it would be good if she had the body strength to make it visually look awesome.
I will tell you, she doesn't. The first few times she did it, it looked badass. And it's because she did it against AJ Lee, who's like
a stick.
Well, stick and like short. So I remember the first time she did it, you know how the crowd does that sound after Del Rio? They did that
when she first did it. Yeah, and I remember us on the post show actually raving about it, going, that's a really cool finish. Mm-hmm. But the more she's done it, the less and less I'm liking it.
Yeah, the bigger girl she does it on, it does not look as good. I bet it would look good in Sasha.
Can she do either of her finishers to Nia Jax?
She'd probably have to do a super kick. Good thing she's got that in her arsenal, eh?
Yeah.
Super kick saves the day again. I say this match is a step above your average Divas match because it seemed a little bit more hard-hitting. Typically, a lot of these main roster Divas matches, I think the biggest thing you can accuse them of is being very soft, especially when they're going into the corners or the ropes. I didn't see that in this match too much, especially when Sasha went into that post at the end there. She slammed into that thing.
Out of everyone that was in that ring tonight, Sasha's a different animal.
Oh, she was on the top of that Tower of Doom spot?
Mm-hmm. The new girls that they've got in NXT, Bayley and her, they're a different breed from what we've had in the past, and it's nice to see.
I just hope they get their dues on that main roster eventually.
I think Sasha's going to get her moments. They're obviously acknowledging that the fans are into her, but I think they've got a plan and they want to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, with that, folks, we are getting towards the end of the show here. There's still a little bit of time if you want to try calling in or if you got any comments you want to throw into the chat room. But in the meantime, we're going to start doing our good, our bad, and ugly, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, what the most god-awful must-avoid part of the show is. Good, the bad, and the ugly Wago. What's your GPU?
So for my good, I got the Lucha Dragons versus Sheamus and Wade Barrett. I really liked the match. I liked Kalisto and Sin Cara getting a bit of love. It was great.
I did not see that coming.
No? For the bad, I've got Becky Lynch's promo backstage.
Oof.
Fucking terrible. She's got to keep her away from the microphone. As far as the ugly goes, I don't have one. Nothing offended me incredibly. Like, there's nothing that I just couldn't stand on the show. Maybe you'll bring one up, but I couldn't find one.
Well, for my good, bad, and ugly, my good, I'm going to give to the New Day acting like a metal band during Seth Rollins' entrance. That was absolutely fucking amazing when Seth Rollins' music was hitting. New Day is in the ring. Big E is playing the part of a drummer, flailing his arms around, and his head is going around nuts. Freaking Xavier Woods takes the trombone and extends it out, and he's like playing guitar on it. And they're all just jamming out while Seth Rollins' music plays. One of my favorite moments on Raw tonight. Absolutely. My bad, I'm going to give to Bray Wyatt controlling the elements, because that was bad ass. Huh? See what I did with that one? Because honestly, I can't think of a bad or an ugly for this show. I'm honestly looking through all the segments here, and unless I forgot to write something down here, I liked each segment.
I think what summarizes the show is that it didn't really do a good job of promoting Survivor Series too much, but at the same time, it wasn't a bad show.
Having a Survivor Series match on the show doesn't promote the event?
No, not really. You're just kind of pissing it away.
It's kind of funny how they didn't do that with, like, Hell in a Cell. Silent Wind of Doom is submitting his good, bad, and ugly. His good is Ambrose doing his turn move to come back out of the ring rather than in. He's done that before, but it was very cool to do it tonight. Bad is Paige's new ring gear is too late for Halloween. It was very, like, witchy. Like, it looks like spider webs on her legs. The ugly, Seth telling Roman how great he did in his match with Brock when he got monkey stomped. What? I don't know. Kaylin Ferris saying, shout out to no more pink ropes and terrible Komen segments. Thank fucking
God. Yes, I can agree with that one.
Hell yeah. And I was worried because I think I remember them typically doing that one more week after October ends. But I'm guessing they think because they already did that in September with the yellow ropes and the Connor's cure. And then through October, we went through 2 months of these fucking find a cure shits. Nothing to say?
No, I've got nothing positive to say about
it. So I'm keep sorry not to say anything. Oh, we need Tony back here to talk about this. He'll have lots to say. Well, with that, we are going to start wrapping up things here on the show. Since it's just Wago here, I know I promised you guys I'd get some games back here, but it's hard to really play with just him here. We need other people. So we'll have to hold off on one more week. I do have a favorite commercial, kind of. I am going to give a shout out to the Little Caesars Deep, Deep Discount, because I liked how they did the commercial once and then they like went away and they're like, oh, it's done. And now for the second time ever, we're doing the Deep, Deep Discount event. It's like, oh, cool. I thought that was kind of clever and funny. Plus, I like the pun of Deep, Deep Discount. Too bad Little Caesar's pizza is fucking terrible.
The only commercial I liked is that they had that fucking horrible rodent killing thing in WWE tonight.
I can't believe a fucking rat killer ad is like really catching on like that.
That's great.
Like, you think of what they typically try to get on there, it's like clothing or some kind of toy or like an energy drink. Rat poison. Cool. All right, well, we got no other GBUs in the chat. I think all we got left to do is just tell people about other ways that they could check out what we're doing. So Wago, tell the world where else they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter at Stephen Wago, and that's Stephen spelt with a PH. And also check me out at StephenWago.com, which will drop you to my Tumblr page, which you can find all my corresponding links.
All right, and if you enjoy this edition of the Raw Post Show, join us every single week here live on MegaPowersRadio.com as soon as Raw goes off the air for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We want you joining us live every week because that's the best way to experience the show. We got the chat rooms, phone lines, everything running to keep the conversation going all over the place. But if you cannot be here live, we do make the show available in a number of archive means. We're on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and links to all these can easily be found by our home in archive form on smarkoutmoment.com. Also a cool site to check out for all types of other wrestling media, news, whatever else you want to check out. If you're a wrestling fan, check that website. And if you want to see anything else I'm involved in, find me on Twitter at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payden. Until next week, folks, for Stephen Wago, for myself, we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.